Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today I want to kind of go over the whole how we receive from God thing that a lot of people seem to talk about when they're getting into what faith is and try to motivate you towards some kind of firmness in prayer and really understanding how it is. And a lot of this has been kind of, I want to say twisted, but not necessarily properly applied by those in the Word of Faith community, because a lot of them basically talk about how if you talk and believe right, you'll climb to the top of society, or you'll be able to blab and grab, name and claim, or whatever the phraseology is that they choose to go with in various circles. And these are well-known teachers. These are people like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Frederick Price, and John Hagee, and a few others like that. Even Joel Osteen and his dad, John Osteen, were big in that particular movement and still are in some ways as far as those things go. But a lot of this is just really understanding how to tap into the reality of our faith. And it's really getting into all the things that come about. And I would pretty much say that there's probably four parts to really understanding this whole how you get into faith and really experience faith and really understand what faith is. And it's something that we see in Jesus' ministry on earth. And we see him basically illustrated. So it's a very simple, concise, and clear message that's not complicated. It's something that everybody needs to understand. And I'm going to use probably the big scripture that they all use for showing these four laws of writing your own ticket with God, which is really to try to get into a real answer to this. It's not about writing a ticket with God. It's experiencing what God has provided for you by grace, because you can't arm wrestle God into doing things he doesn't want to do for you. In fact, the biggest key to ever truly experiencing the full blessing of God is realizing what it is to represent him. This is what being in the name of Jesus is all about. That's why when we get into prayers as Catholics, we do the sign of the cross and we say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because we're entering into this reality of the Trinity and really experiencing their lives so that we can represent them, not have them represent us, not using the name of Jesus as if we're rubbing a genie's lamp to get three wishes and poof, there you go. Because that kind of thing is not what this is about. What it's about is something completely and totally different, as you'll see as we get going into this. So if you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, we'll begin. And I'm going to start at about the 25th verse. So I'll give you a second to get flipped over there. And then we're going to read it as it follows. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, who had suffered many things because of the physician she went to and spent all the money that she had, ended up no better, but rather only grew worse. When she had heard about Jesus, she came in to where he was, and there was a great crowd of people that prevented her from getting to him without her having to press through. And she touched his garment, for she had declared, "If I may touch but his clothes, I'll be made whole." And straightway after doing this, the very fountain of blood that she had, this issue of blood that she had, was dried up, and she felt her body, in her body, that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned around to see who was in this press with him, and declared, "Who touched my clothing?" And his disciples said unto him, "You see this great multitude of people all trying to touch you and be around you. So how is it you can say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around and he came to see this woman, the one who had done this very thing. And this woman was fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, and came down and fell before him and told him everything, all the truth. And she said, and he said unto her, "Daughter, your faith is what's made you whole. Go in peace, for you are now made whole of your entire plague." Now, this kind of develops into what's known as the four laws of spiritually receiving from God or being able to get him to make stuff. But this is not what it's about. These four laws are simple. It's understanding the declaration of faith, basically having a profession that you're going to abide by, acting in faith, being able to receive in faith, and then being able to be a witness to others. Now, a lot of these people miss this and they get it all wrong because they misunderstand each one of these steps. Now, when it comes to the first one about making that declaration of faith, knowing your faith, saying your faith, this is what's declared in verse 28, where she says, if I touch the hem of his garments, I'll be made whole. Now, this is the first thing that this woman's done. Now, does it mean that the first step in receiving anything from God is merely to say it? Well, if you listen to a lot of Word of Faith teachers, that's what they tell you. But really what it is just getting a definite, fixed, firm faith point of view of what it is you're supposed to be receiving from God and actually, you know, making that a firm declaration, because this is what she said. She may not have said it vocally with her mouth. She said it internally. She knew it in her mind. She knew it in her heart. She had this firm conviction, this firm faith and trust that if she touched just the hem of his garment, she would be healed of her illness. Now, when we think about what it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, as the scriptures try to tell us, one of the first things is we must believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. We must have some knowledge of the gospel that we're holding on to. And this is what we're declaring with our mouth, with the confession of faith that a lot of people talk to that say, oh, it's a sinner's prayer. And really what it is really she had to know something about Jesus. In her case, she had to know that healing was possible because Jesus was going about healing him. And having this information, she was just basically making this firm conviction that if she could touch him, she could be healed. And this is where a lot of times when we get into faith and what Christianity is all about, if we don't have a firm knowledge of what it is, we'll never experience what the next step is. So in this first step, this step of quote-unquote saying it, it's about having this knowledge that what we're going to receive is what we're going to really hold on and believe. So if we truly believe, say for instance, that the body of Christ is present in the Eucharist when we receive communion, we're going forward with this impression, this saying it mentally, this confession, this faith perspective that says, that is Jesus. If you get that, it changes your whole attitude about what it is you're receiving at communion or any other sacrament, whether it be baptism. You're really receiving new creation at reconciliation when you're telling your sins to the priest. You're receiving forgiveness for your sins and being made right again. When you're praying, you're able to talk with God in the sense that you're representing Jesus Christ on earth. And the things that you're asking for are more about forwarding the gospel than it is about you being selfish and lazy at the same time. So these are things that we need to have going forward. And in fact, if there's any failure it's always on our part as to what we're supposed to be hooked up. So we're not receiving answers to prayer. It's not because God has said yes, no, maybe, and all this other kind of stuff that people come up. God always gives you what you ask for. He says, ask and you shall receive. In fact, James says, the reason why you don't receive is because of, we'll say two things. The first is, you don't ask in the first place. So you have not because you ask not. This is James chapter 4, verse 2. Then you get to James chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, and when you asked incorrectly. Hello? You know, if you're asking incorrectly, you're not going to get an answer to your prayer. It's going to be the maybe or no. It's never going to be the yes. So you have to understand if you're asking correctly. Well, what's some of the ways you asked incorrectly? Not representing Jesus in your request. Having a sinful motive that you may consume it upon your lust, as the scripture continues in James chapter 4, verse 3. I mean, these are the things. You have to have all the things going there. You have to live spiritually and in truth the lifestyle that you're trying to emulate. You've got to live Christian. Otherwise, how can you represent Jesus? How can you go in prayer and be a representative? How can you, if you have sin, be somebody that God can listen to? If you want something that is sinful, how can God answer that prayer? There's many people that say, oh, I want to marry so-and-so. And that song that Garth Brooks sings about unanswered prayer is about him not getting a certain girl to be his wife. Okay, is that really a Christian godly motive? Think about that for a minute. So if there's any failings, it's more on our part than it is on God. And this is where we really got to understand where we come into it and not have the right understanding of faith or the proper way of doing it. It's not about having a negative confession, as many people say. It's more about having a real understanding of the reality of God. This is where knowing your catechism and knowing your scriptures are key to truly being able to get into the true blessings of God. Because it's in this that we truly get snared and we truly find out where we're supposed to be. Because if we have the right faith like she had, we'll get the answer to prayer. Now, the second thing that comes about in this whole thing is this idea that we need to do something in order to receive from God. There's a problem that a lot of people have that our actions either defeat us or put us over. And a lot of times it's because we don't persevere into our faith that we don't really receive the blessings. A lot of people won't put faith in going to communion that they're receiving Jesus Christ because they're still looking at bread. They're still looking at a cup that has, in their mind's eye, wine in it, and they don't experience the full blessing of the sacrament. And it's really according to how you act, how you live, that either allows you to receive or keeps you from receiving. You have to act upon your faith in order for it to happen. It's kind of like if I think back to one of the lessons one of these Word of Faith guys was talking about, namely Benny Hinn. He's like, a lot of people won't get up out of their wheelchairs and walk. Well, there's some truth to that. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. They can't get out because they're not healed. And they're not healed because they can't walk. So, you know, it's kind of that corresponding relationship. But it's the same way with your Christian walk. If you don't ever live Christian, if you don't live out your faith, how can anybody know you're Christian? I mean, this is that whole, if you don't live out the faith that's in your heart, in your mind, that you know that in that step one, you're kind of declaring and standing upon and really having faith moment with, how can anybody know that you're really a Christian? So this is kind of the thing. If you're going to pray, pray believing that you receive and you'll have, as Mark 11, 24 points out. You have to have the knowledge that you're praying correctly, that God will hear you and that he'll answer your prayer, and that you can receive the answer to your prayer as a result. So this is what comes. This woman basically does what she says she's going to do. She's going to reach out, grab the hem of his garment. So she finally got up to Jesus, grabbed him, and healing came about. She became that branch on a vine. She wasn't just thinking, it would be nice to be in Jesus Christ. She saw herself in Jesus. She put on the whole armor of God, and she overcame. As a result, in her case, she was healed of this issue of blood. What is this issue of blood? A lot of people have a lot of problems with it. I kind of remind myself of a certain friend of mine who, whenever she has her monthly cycle, it causes intense pain. I forget what the technical term is, but it's a disease that happens, or some type of biological condition that happens, that whenever certain women, I think it's like 30 some odd percent of women, maybe it's more, maybe it's less, I can't remember the statistics, where they really have intense menstrual cycles to the point that they really are incapacitated by them for those 3 or 5 days, depending upon how long the cycle lasts. And it's because their body really rejects the ability to reproduce. In fact, a lot of these women have gone barren in their lives because of it. And this could be the cause of certain things in other scriptures where they really have these struggles going through their lives. And this woman actually fits into this category. So she's able to reach out, receive this healing because she acted upon it by actually touching his clothes. And then that leads into the third step of actually receiving, having this work go in our lives. I mean, we have this faith. We put our action into the faith and we actually receive the blessing in communion. Do you really honestly receive Jesus into you? You're receiving bread and wine, right? Well, are you receiving the body and blood of Christ, or are you just receiving bread and wine? If you're truly receiving Christ in that moment, you're stepping out in that part three of this four-part process where you actually receive what's going on. In this woman's case, when she reached out and touched Jesus, she received her healing. She felt something go into her, and she was healed of this plague that she had. The feeling of healing followed her declaration of faith, her faith confession, her acknowledgement of faith, and her living correctly. Many people put it in the wrong direction. They want to feel healed first, then they think that they'll say and do the doing the proper way, but it never works that way. You have to put faith first, act on your faith second, and then you receive the results. You have to go into your prayer closet. You have to pray for the things that you desire, believing that you receive them, and then you will have them. That's the statement that we find out here. And this is really how it goes. Because even in this case, Jesus perceived the power had gone out of him. The whole world realized that with the atomic bomb that there's this unseen power that can be released. Well, in Jesus' case, he felt this unseen power leave him. And he turned around and he's like, what's going on? So he's realizing this power of God is going out to somebody, and he wants to know who it is. And why does he want to know who it is? It's because of number four, her being a witness to others. Now, a lot of times we miss this when we go to Mass, because we go to Mass with this faith, okay, Jesus is going to be made present. We go forward, receive him in communion. And we really get him into us, and we really acknowledge that for some period of time he's within us. And then we forget the commission of the Mass, to go into all the world, to go, for our Mass is ended, go in peace, to love and serve the Lord, as the declaration is. But Jesus wants us to be a witness to others. Receiving what we have from God is not enough. We need to put ourselves out there so that others may know about this reality too. So the first step is know what we're supposed to believe. The last step is being a witness to it. When the first step we begin with believing, and with the last step we make it our testimony to others. We have to make sure that others know the faith that we have in Christ for us to really have all the firmness of everything that goes on. Many people go about, live the wrong lifestyle, and therefore no one else can follow them into the Christian faith. Because they are the hypocrites. But this is not how it's supposed to be. In fact, we can even look into this works in the life of King David. Because when we turn to 1 Samuel 17, we can see him when he goes forward to Goliath, that he has a certain perspective, this little David and Goliath story. David said to the Philistine Goliath, "You come with me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you only in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. I'm coming in his name. I'm representing him. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I'll kill you. I'll take your head from you, and your carcass will go back to the Philistines, and the fowl of the air will eat it, and so on and so forth. And everybody will know that the Lord has delivered me into your hands, you into my hands, because the battle is the Lord." And David put his hands in his bag. He took a stone. He got it all wound up. He flung it at the Philistine's forehead, and the stone struck him straight in the head. And he fell down dead to the earth. And as verse 50 says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and killed him. So David took the head of the Philistine and brought it back to Jerusalem." See, when David slew the giant, he did it with his shepherd's sling. He knew that he could do this because he had the power of God with him. And he basically said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." This is what verse 46 of 1 Samuel 17 tells us. David had this faith. It was not in his own strength, but in the strength of God. David knew his might, that he was powerless against the Philistines, so he wasn't trusting in his own might. He He was trusting in what the Lord was going to do through him. And he acted upon this faith. This is what verse 49 points out when it says, David put his hand into the bag, he took out a stone, and he did his thing so that it would smite the Philistine in the forehead. David wasn't led by his natural senses. He didn't listen to human reasoning. He listened to the voice of faith that he knew inside of him, not the outer voice of human reasoning, and therefore victory was his. This is how we need to proceed in our Christian faith. We need to receive from God what he's declaring to us. And basically, he did step four. He made it a testimony for everybody else by basically taking the head of the Philistine and bringing it back to Jerusalem in verse 54. Too few people understand this. They don't understand why they're limited in a lot of it. And a lot of the reason why you don't really experience the experience of God is because a lot of the things that you get from God, you keep to yourself. You don't let other people know that, yes, that really is Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Yes, baptism is how you're born again. Yes, you can receive healing from both the sacrament of anointing of oil for your physical body and spiritual healing in the confessional. You don't really live out your faith so others can see your profession of faith, because that's the whole only way in which it really works long term. Because when we really think about it, we really need to understand this, because this is the whole point of our salvation message. Look at Luke 15, where it talks about the prodigal son. The prodigal son in verse 18, of chapter 15 says, I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be made your son, and I should be treated like a hired servant. So he arose, he went to his father. And when he was yet a ways off, his father saw him and had great compassion, and he ran and fell on him and kissed him. And then in verse 24, he says, my son was dead, but he's now alive. He was lost. He was found. And now let's get married. I mean, we don't go into the world preaching the gospel. We don't realize that we need to come to our Heavenly Father. And we never make it known to others in the married supper of the Lamb of the Eucharist how it is. Because we have to first see in faith what we need to do. Just like the prodigal son, we need to arise, go to our father. We need to declare unto him everything that we need to him to know. Because when we do this, we act upon that faith. We act upon it by rising up and coming home. We pick ourselves up. We get out of the sinful life and we return home. And when we do that, we receive the full pardon that was given to us, and we're restored to a proper relationship with our father. Our Heavenly Father will see us from afar off, have compassion, run, fall on our necks, and kiss us. And the rejoicing of the Father was the way in which the rest of the world knew that this revelation was available to all. For our son was dead, but is now alive. A lot of us are out of fellowship with God, because we won't humble ourselves like the prodigal son did. And we won't take the simple four steps that are necessary to really experience the full salvation of God, of really getting an understanding of what faith is, step one. Acting upon that faith, step two. Really receiving the benefits of that faith, and that's step three. I mean, a lot of us still walk around like we're condemned sinners. We're condemned to die. We don't live any better. How can you really receive forgiveness if you never really let it get into your heart? There's too many people that walk around with an unforgiving spirit because they do not see how God forgives their trespasses. We don't forgive others because we don't feel ourselves are forgiven. But we're supposed to love one another as Christ has loved us. And that leads us into the full final step of being a witness to others. And that's really where the real blessing comes in, because God will meet us, he'll bring us into full fellowship, and we will be made whole of all of our plague. And this is how we really get into this whole thing and really understand how the so-called write your ticket with God thing works. Because it's not about getting a write your ticket for just any old thing. It's about writing your ticket into a relationship with God and with one another. Because that fourth step of witnessing is your relationship with others as a result of how you've been saved by God. So first get the gospel into your mind, step one. Act on the gospel, step two. Receive the love of God, step four. And step three. And step four, live the love of God with others. so that the fullness of the blessing can be yours. Because only then will you truly experience what Mark 5:34 is talking about truly being made whole by your faith. Because you have to have this faith in order to truly transform your life and be repentant and converted and truly love and serve God as He ought or wants you to. So this is what we're looking for as we move forward and we really get into the things of God that we need to get into. So hopefully this blesses you, gives you something to think about today as you begin to put into your life, into your actions, the way of knowing the truth, living the truth, receiving the truth, and presenting that truth to others in how you live your life. Because if you do that, you'll truly have a very blessed day.